How do you handle success? Well, the LSU Tigers are the top of the college football world as they head to Oxford, Mississippi. Will Wade returns to the Siegel Center. A big challenge on the hardwood. We'll have a preview. Plus, Michael Huguenin with Week 12 picks. Who you got, Gators or the Auburn Tigers? Can Baylor stay undefeated and Minnesota goes on the road? Can the Golden Gophers keep their dream season alive? All these stories and more today. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, November 13th, 2019.
To me, if I'm Sean Payton, yeah, it's great if the Seahawks won and beat the Niners. But, boy, if the Saints would have won, they'd be in the driver's seat right now in the NFC. So you don't want to lose that home field, and you don't want to lose games you're frankly supposed to win.
Specifically, I'm not going to get into exactly what I knew or anybody knew at this point. So we're just going to have to wait and see what I'm sure there will be an appropriate time to answer that question directly. I'm not trying to avoid it. I just think at this point we're going to investigate it and figure out what the facts are, and then we'll respond after that.
LSU, as expected, has moved into the top spot. Hard. I mean, if you think Ohio State would win the game, that's a reasonable thing to think. But LSU's resume, combined with the weight it has played, most deserving to be at number one.
There's no doubt. And listen, you can use your eye test to say they're really good, but you also use the body work and go, they're also really, really good.
Right. No question. And I firmly believe no matter what, if LSU takes care of business in the next three, no matter what happens in the SEC championship game, I think the Tigers have locked up a spot in the Final Four. I really, truly do. Good afternoon and welcome a chilly Wednesday, this 13th day of the 11th month of the 19th year of 2000, back warm and nestled up inside the 237 Roof Studios Master Control Suite. My main man, producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain, and yours truly here, Studio 1A, and away we go. Yes, LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, the big surprise or the big question mark, who was going to be number 4? Hunker down between the hedges, you Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia number 4, Bama number 5. With not much, they're going to need a lot of help along the way. They just are. I don't think anybody's going to take care of this. I think those first three spots are as close to written down in ink as you can possibly believe. That fourth spot, yet to be determined, with a lot to go. Georgia's got to go to Auburn. Yes, indeed. So we'll see all about that. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow focused, knowing the Bama game is over. There's a lot more football left to be played.
I mean, you pay attention to it. You see the standings, but still got three games left. Still got the SEC championship left. Still have five games left in the year, hopefully. So it doesn't mean anything in week 10.
It really doesn't mean anything. You're right. On the defensive side of the ball, Jacoby Stephens realized that, look, this is a marathon. And they're not at the finish line yet.
I mean, Alabama was just one of the hurdles that we had to jump to get to where we want to go. I mean, there's hurdles that are bigger than one another, and Alabama is probably one of the biggest ones. But we still have a race to run. We have an Ole Miss team that we have to play this Saturday, and they record may not show it, but they're a good football team. They're going to run the ball. I'm pretty sure they're at the top in the SEC in rushing yards, and when a team can run the ball and have their way rushing the ball, they can do a lot of things.
No question about it, Jacoby Stephens. And all you had to do was look at college basketball last night. Number 1 Kentucky at home gets shocked by Evansville. They were a 30-something point underdog, and Evansville, led by their head coach, the former Kentucky Wildcat that helped them win a national championship in 96, Walter McCarty, as Tommy Heinsohn used to say when he was with the Boston Celtics, Walter McCarty, and Evansville shocked the Kentucky Wildcats. Kalavon Chaisson summed it up. Alabama win, great, but he knows this ain't going to be easy.
Every day, just coming and walking in this building, just walking in, Coach O, keeping us humble, just that's one of the main things. This is probably going to be the harder weeks of the season, just coming off of a great win like that. Just for the rest of the year long, you got to stay focused and just press on and act like that never happened. Just keep on going and play the next game, play the new opponent.
And Kalavon Chaisson says, don't call me just a pass rusher. I'm a beast. I'm a freak. I can do it all. Well, Kalavon, do it all, because as Jacoby Stevens said, Ole Miss is a run-centric team. Their passing game is non-existent. So what do you have to do if you're LSU? You get out there, you get the ball, and you start rolling. You get a lead, and you make Ole Miss play from behind where they can't run the ball because of the clock situation, and now you got them right in the palm of your hands. Ole Miss wants to do to LSU what the Atlanta Falcons did to the New Orleans Saints and shock the world. Marcus Davenport fully expects the Saints to flush it and return with a vengeance.
Nah, you know, that's never a thing. It's fully expected. You know, now we just got to. You guys had...
They got to bounce back. No question about that. Meanwhile, tonight, starting at 5 o'clock here on 103.7 The Game, LSU will face a major test in its second game when the 23rd-ranked Tigers take on the Virginia Commonwealth Rams tonight. Virginia Commonwealth, a bunch of seniors. Plus, it'll be the emotion of Will Wade returning to the school that he left to come to LSU.
Oh, the atmosphere is incredible on any night. It'll be turned up even more, I'm sure, for us. But it's a great place. VCU is a great place. You know, as a coach, you travel around a lot. That's the longest I've been one place. I was there for 4 years as an assistant. I was there for 2 years as the head coach. And so they've got tremendous fans. They have tremendous administration who really, really supports the basketball program. And Coach Rhodes is a awesome, awesome coach. He's done a phenomenal job there, and he'll continue to do a really, really good job.
Today, National Signing Day, college basketball. Walker, Louisiana, 4-star Jalen Cook signed with LSU, ranked as a number 16 point guard in America, quoting Will Wade, compliments of Billy Embody of Go247 Sports. Quote, we are very happy to have Jalen Cook join the LSU basketball program. His ability to score and distribute the basketball, as well as his skills on defense, will be a big addition for the Tigers, and we look forward to him joining us next season. There you go. Colin Kaepernick, back in the news. He will have a workout Saturday at the Atlanta Falcons training complex. For anybody and anybody that's interested, it'll be run by the NFL. They'll put him through drills. He said, well, we just found out about it yesterday afternoon, but I've been training for this for 3 years. We'll see if anybody goes out on the limb and takes Colin Kaepernick. His case, along with Eric Reed, the former LSU Tiger, was settled. We don't know what dollar amount it was, but it seems to me that part of the settlement agreement was Kaepernick's lawyer said, okay, if we do this, then you got to help us out. And the NFL said, if you do this, we'll put something together and give him the opportunity to get back in the league. A Saturday, week 11 of the NFL, the day before NFL games, it sounds like a PR stunt to me. It just does. It just does. Let me tell you what we have coming up on the program. In this hour, we'll head out to Richmond, Virginia. Mike Litos is the color analyst for the Virginia Commonwealth Rams. He'll give us a preview of what LSU is going to be facing. We know what LSU has. Small, quick, good outside shooting team. They got to do a better job of rebounding the basketball. They've got to limit their turnovers. Way too many in the opening win over Bowling Green. But VCU, veteran ball club that won their conference at 16-2 a year ago, won over 23 games. It's a good ball club. It's going to be tough. Chris Truax will join us. We'll get some LSU football talk. We'll go in the trenches with CT in this hour. Hour number two, Hot Topics. John Hendricks will talk all things NFL and particularly the New Orleans Saints. And then my main man, Michael Hugan of The Athletic, will pick the biggest games of Week 12, Georgia at Auburn, Oklahoma at Baylor, the Paul Bunyan Cup with Michigan State at Michigan, Minnesota. Can they row the boat unscathed yet again as they travel to Iowa? And how does Bama and LSU handle the lows for Bama and the highs for LSU coming off that sensational 46-41 win over the Crimson Tide? That's all coming your way. We also have some giveaways for you. And let me just be perfectly honest with you. You can't pass this up because LSU football is the best team in the country. In all the polls, in everything. And the Tigers and 103.7 The Game want you to be a part of this possible national championship march. We're giving you a chance to win tickets to the final two games inside Death Valley. You can score a pair of tickets to the November 23rd game against the Arkansas Razorbacks or tickets to the November 30th game against the Texas A&M Aggies. We're giving them both away through the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. So choose your game, enter to win at 103.7thegame.com and cheer on the Tigers to win in person. Let's go, Tigers, and let's go with 103.7 The Game. Basketball preview, Tigers-Rams next.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
LSU has a major test on its hands tonight when they take on VCU, the Rams. Tigers are 1-0, VCU 2-0 on the cusp of breaking into the top 25. They've got a veteran lineup. They've reached the NCAA tournament 8 of the last 9 years. Of course, we know LSU reached the Sweet 16 last season while the Rams were knocked out in the first round. Tip set for 5 p.m. our time at the Stuart Siegel Center. And you can listen to the ballgame right here on 103.7 The Game. Michael Eidos is the color analyst for the Rams, and he's kind enough to join us from Richmond. Mike, I appreciate the time, buddy. What's the buzz about this game as Will Mabe makes his return back to where he once was?
Yeah, well, thanks for your time, Jordy. I certainly appreciate being back. And you're right, there may or may not be a little bit of buzz about Coach Wade coming back to Richmond. But that's certainly going to be, you know, the most talked about subplot during the week. Not a lot of Ram fans are very happy about the way in which Coach Wade left. And as provincial as we are about our coaches and when they leave, you're either in the family or you're not. I don't think there's any way really you can leave on good terms any coach at any program. So that is going to be a nice subplot, quite frankly, to what could be a fabulous basketball game.
You're a veteran ball club. LSU's got a lot of youth. You're just the opposite. You got 5 seniors from a team that went 25-8 last season and won the Atlantic 10 regular season with the 16-2 mark. What are the expectations for Coach Rhodes and his ball club this year?
Yeah, I think they're very high, and for obvious reasons. You know, when you get into the preseason, they were able to spend October and the early part of November really working on nuance and those things that, you know, get you to eke out victories in close games. They didn't have to install an offense, and guys didn't have to learn a system and didn't have to learn defense or traps or what Coach Rhodes expects. They know what to expect of each other. So when you have a team like that that has a level of talent, they've seen success, they've played together now for 3 years, whispers of the second weekend in March are certainly not uncommon around these parts.
Michael Addis of the VCU Radio Network. He's the color commentator. He'll be on the call this evening. Again, 5 o'clock, LSU, VCU, right here on 103.7 The Game. The thing that impressed me the most is VCU went from giving up nearly 75 points a game in Coach Rhodes' first season, dropped that down to 62, 10th best in the nation. What was the difference? How did he turn that? I mean, that's a 13-point margin. That's getting after it.
Yeah, that was all mindset, right? That adjustment starts between your ears and buying into the way Coach Rhodes wants you to play them. There were a couple guys 2 years ago that didn't necessarily want to play defense, and so they didn't necessarily play very many minutes. Coach Rhodes is going to roll the way he rolls, and you're either going to go that way or you're going to sit next to him on the bench. So I think it all started with a mindset. Now, then he started to teach in some of those fundamentals of how he wants to trap. And it's not just a matter of the VCU press, you know, creating turnovers, things like that. He demanded guys guard in the half court, and that started with ball pressure. And Marcus Evans, our all-conference point guard, it really heats up the basketball and causes passes to be weak or sideways or different things like that. So it's a defense that starts, you know, with the mind, but really it's on the perimeter. It's not just pressing and trapping.
It should be a perimeter game. LSU's strength is their backcourt with Javonte Smart and Skylar Mays. Let's talk about the strength of VCU.
Yeah, it's in the backcourt as well. That's why I think this could be a phenomenal basketball game. I think it's going to be kind of like Rocky and Apollo Creed just standing in midcourt or in the center of the boxing ring taking swings at each other, because the strengths are the same. The coaches, they coach differently, but Coach Wade and Coach Rhodes, as they preach aggression, you know, you want to get downhill on the offensive end, you want to attack the glass, do those things. So their approach is the same, and I think the team that's going to have the advantage tonight is going to be the perimeter guys, right? So there's aggression, and then you can step across that line into foolishness or stupidity. And I think both teams have probably done that a little bit this year, and that's borne out in the turnover numbers, right? So I think the team whose backcourt can be aggressive without fouling and without turning the ball over, it's going to have a significant advantage.
Marcus Santos Silver, he's 6'7", but apparently he plays a lot bigger than his 6'7" frame.
Well, he certainly plays a lot wider. He goes about 260, and he carries his weight a little bit differently than I do. He can really get anywhere that he wants to go on the court. Now, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how he matches up against your big freshman and his height and his length. That's the kind of player that has given Santos Silva a little bit of trouble, someone who's really an athlete. But if you go mano a mano, bull for bull, Santos Silva can carve out whatever room he gets. He had 21 points and 18 rebounds in the first game against St. Francis. And in the second game, he was held in check because they chose to defend in the paint and take Santos Silva away. So the way Coach Wade chooses to defend Marcus Santos Silva, it's going to be interesting to watch.
Mike Lattis of the Virginia Commonwealth Radio Network. Is this going to be a packed house? And if so, what is that gym hold? 10,000 or so more? What is it?
About 7,700, and you can bet they're going to be, you know, packed to the gills. They're going to be lathered up. It's been, I think this is going to be sellout 137 in a row. This is a program that really cares about its basketball. It doesn't have a football team that just whipped Alabama. Got to throw that in. But, you know, so basketball is the sport on campus, and it is the way it's the identity of VCU. So, yeah, the sport will be there. They'll be loud. They'll be rowdy. It's a gold out. Hopefully everybody's wearing gold. So it'll be a fun college basketball environment.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And look, I think it's a great – testament to both teams, LSU willing to go there to play on the road, and VCU willing to take on LSU after their, you know, the coach left to go to LSU. I think it's going to help both teams. For LSU's perspective, you want to go into a hostile environment early where it's going to be tough. It's going to be nasty. I think it helps both teams.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And a little known fact about this game is that in Coach Wade's contract with VCU was that if he were ever to leave, that the school he left to has to play a home and home against VCU. So we'll be coming there probably next year, but certainly, you know, the spirit of what you're saying is 100% dead on, Jordy. And that's, you know, for coaches like Rhodes and Wade to seek out opportunities to play another talented team in Coach Wade's, you know, favor this year. He's going on the road to play in a hostile environment. You got to learn a lot about your team in November so that when you get into that conference season and you're playing the Kentucky's, Florida's, guys like that, and we're playing the Dayton's and Davidson's, you want to be battle-tested because it's going to matter. Because so many of these games are going to come down to, it's one possession at the four-minute mark. What are you going to do? And if you haven't been challenged and you don't know what to do, you're probably going to get beat. So, yeah, good on the coaches for all the upside of games like that. And for guys like you and me and for the fans, it's wonderful. So it should be a treat. Nothing but good about a game like this.
Mike, we're about 2.5 hours away from tip. Go get work done. Get your pregame stuff all ready to go. We greatly appreciate the time, and let's have the gold out and about 7,800 screaming fans. Let's make it loud. Let's have a good basketball game. Thank you, my friend.
You bet, Jordy. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. That 5 o'clock tip. We'll pick it up live and in living color right here on 103.7 The Game. On Saturday, we'll also have, of course, the LSU football game. We are your source for LSU sports. LSU Ole Miss will go in the trenches. Chris Truax next.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah, you know, we knew we were a really good offense, and they were a really good defense, too. But, you know, we left some stuff out there on the field just like every week. You know, we could have scored 60 if we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot a couple times. But it's always great to come out with a win, and there's a lot more ahead of us, too. Like I've said before, the most improved group I've ever been around. And I think this game really showed that. You know, Alabama dominated both sides of the football last year, and I felt like we did this year. And that's a testament to the hard work that Austin, Lloyd, D'Lou, Sadiq, Adrian, Ed all put in this offseason, all the guys on defense. I'm just so proud of all those guys.
That's Joe Burrow talking about not only the defensive line, but in particular the offensive line. Said we could have hung 60 on the Crimson Tide. They settled for 46, a perfectionist. There's no such thing as the perfect game, but we have the perfect guest, and we're brought to you by the perfect place to spend your RV getaway, and that's True Lodging RV Park in Hackberry, Louisiana. From the classic comforts to high-speed Wi-Fi, we got you covered. Hunting, fishing, bird watching, paradise. True Lodging RV Park. Let's talk to my main man, the former LSU lineman, offensive lineman, college football offensive line coach, the one, the only, Mr. Chris Truax. CT, how you feeling as a former Tiger football alum? How you feeling these days?
Brother Jordy, let me tell you something. Proud to be a Tiger. There ain't no doubt. The LSU family and the nation, the fans that are out there, I mean, couldn't have asked for anything coming. You know, it's a tough one. Now, I'm talking to my 9-year-old daughter here on Sunday, and I'm explaining to her that since she's been alive, LSU's never beat Alabama, if that puts it in context for you. You know, and it was just a tremendous effort, you know, and against two great teams. No doubt about it. I think, you know, where Alabama fell, for rightfully so, I think at number 5, and of course us being at 1, that's I think that all is right in college football right now.
I'm of the belief, and I'll argue to the moon on this one, that I think that LSU, if they take care of their business, they can have a hiccup in the SEC championship game. they're one of the four teams in there. Their strength of schedule, who they've beaten, where they've played them, I think they're in.
Jordy, I'm with you 1,000,000%. I mean, obviously you got to finish strong against Ole Miss, against Arkansas, against Texas A&M. I know we've got a couple of gimmies, people are saying, on paper-wise, but you always got to be prepared and respect your opponent. But I look at it this way.
Yeah.
What if you run the table and you go to the SEC championship and you beat Georgia in the SEC championship, okay? So going into the playoff, now you've beaten Texas, Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. Now you're going into the playoffs to beat another top four team. You beat them, then you go to the national championship, and if you win that, I mean, heck, basically your schedule's as half top five, top ten teams in America. Yeah. Who in the history of football has done that?
Yeah. If they do that, without question, without doubt, the greatest football team in LSU football history. No question.
Chris Truett, right.
We talked about the prolific passing games of both of these teams, and Burrow lived up to it. So did Tua. But the difference in my book, that little number 22, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I know you weren't the biggest fan early, but I know you are and have been throughout the course of this season. But his ability and that offensive line's ability, that to me, that was the difference in the game.
I tell you what, I owe him a big apology. I mean, the 22 I played with was with Harvey Williams, and we know what kind of player he was. And Helaire has been as big an asset. He might not be the offensive MVP because I think Joe was that. But he sure is second in line. I think he will get a standing ovation
right.
at any award banquet he's a part of. I mean, what a great, great young man that he's playing out there so hard. And I love the fact that he was with his father after the game. You could tell it was an emotional moment. But he did. He made those holes, man. And when those Alabama defensive tackles were bouncing off that young man, just gave you a great sense of pride and glad that he was an LSU Tiger on that night.
I'm not name dropping, but he's been a friend of the program. I got his number. I'll send it to you. You can text him. I'm just kidding.
I'm
kidding about texting him.
I would love that.
A remarkable game. Now, put your.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, I would love to speak to him without a doubt, or text him, whatever the NCAA rules said I could do, because as an ex player and so forth, and you see that kind of effort, that just carries over to that locker room on that practice field and the all season, showing that guy with his size and his build, but his effort, his determination, and his ability and desire to be the man in that backfield just speaks volumes of the type of coaching he's getting, what kind of men are in that program representing LSU on a Saturday night.
Chris Truex, kind enough to join us, brought to you by True Lodging RV Park. It's got everything you need for your getaway. Brand new, the perfect RV park located in Southwest Louisiana, catering to all our Louisiana natural gas lodgers, world-class fishing, hunting, and bird watching. Okay, now you get a different beast. Put your coaching hat on. Ole Miss is, I can't believe I'm saying, with Rich Rod as the offensive coordinator, they're a run-first, run-second, run-third team.
Well, that's probably coming from the head coach trying to shorten these ball games, because I've watched Ole Miss play. You know, supposedly they've got some kid playing quarterback for them now that was a baseball player that they basically invited to come on because they've had some issues there at quarterback. I know their head football coach has been played there and is an assistant there, and he's head job there. And then they had the NCAA ramifications on them that had taken scholarships away from that
sanctions,
program.
Right?
Had the sanctions on that program. And, obviously it's not a trap game. I mean, LSU's going to win the game, but Ole Miss always seems to get tighter, especially in Oxford. And, it's going to be a cold, cold, dreary type moment. And to me, this will be a really significant factor on how these coaches get these kids prepared, because that was a huge – the whole state of Louisiana is still on an emotional high right now, and it's Wednesday. a Wednesday at game week. You know, they guys are going to practice on Thursday. They're going to load up on Friday and head up and stay and be at the hotel and then get ready to play. What time's kickoff on Saturday, Jordy? Is it an evening game or afternoon?
6 p.m., you might say, right here on 103.7 The Game. 6 p.m.
Okay, great, great. So, you know, you wait around all day to play a team you should beat on paper and on matchups. And LSU's going to handle business, but I think Ole Miss got nothing to lose. And when a team's got nothing to lose, there's probably going to be a bunch of gimmick plays and all that kind of stuff. But back to Rich Rod, he's running the game because, hey, they're trying to shorten the game, trying to keep their defense off the field at this time.
He is Chris Truax, former LSU offensive lineman, proud LSU Tiger today. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about that. Ed Orgeron, of course, we remember. Yeah, I look at it this way, Chris, and you tell me if I'm crazy. That seemed like such a redemption game. Think of the three people most involved or who came through in the biggest way. You got Ed Orgeron, the coach, who's going back to Ole Miss where he failed and failed miserably, and no one in the world thought he would ever do what he is doing now. You have a quarterback who couldn't win the starting job for whatever reason at Ohio State, and now he's on the number one ranked team in the country and in all likelihood has locked up the Heisman Trophy Award. And then you have the little engine that could, all 5'7", Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who nobody said could play in college football, and on the biggest stage in the biggest game comes up in the biggest way.
It makes you believe in Santa Claus all over again, man. I tell you what.
What?
We got the best of both worlds right now. We've got a prolific passing game. We've got a punishing run game. We got a head coach that is out of his coordinator's way. He's a CEO, and meaning that, I mean, he's his chief energy officer. I mean, he's the chief execution officer. I mean, he's the guy that emotional officer. He's the guy that has truly, when he says one team, one heartbeat, that's truly showing, Jordy. He backs up what he says he's going to do.
I never stopped believing in Santa Claus, just so you know. And to this day, I still do.
I do too.
I leave that milk and cookies out every Christmas Eve night, man, and it's gone every day. Every Christmas morning, it's gone. Santa is having a good time with me. How do you handle, the physicality of the Alabama game going into Oxford? It's going to be cold. It's going to be the biggest game for Ole Miss. There's two games on Ole Miss's calendar. It's LSU and it's Mississippi State, and that's all they care about. So you got to be ready to go. How important is leadership now, particularly after what you just accomplished?
Well, you know, basically, you're in the last quarter of the season with Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M. So you're really in that pro mentality right now. You're not beating yourself up during the week. You're managing practice. You're cutting down practice time. You're cutting down the number of reps per offensive group and defensive group, be it individual or team settings. You're probably spending more time in the meeting rooms or even really maybe more time with the strength and conditioning staff right now,
okay,
really working on your flexibility and working more of your cardio and, not punishing yourself during the week so you'll have something in the tank left on Saturday night. I think these guys see the light at the end of the tunnel, though. Jordy, I really do. I think they realize that where this team can go and how they're going to get there. And they've proven to be a physical team. Heck, they've proven at times to be a finesse team. And then it proves to be a downhill football team. So the emotional makeup of this group, you know, like you said, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime team for LSU.
I swear, when they threw that, after the interception, just before the half, and when Burrow fined Edwards-Helaire in the end zone to give LSU that 20-point cushion, I swear I heard you screaming all the way across town. That Truax house must have been going nuts.
We were rocking. You know, I'm glad SWAT teams didn't show up, but everybody in that house was a believer. I can promise you, there was not an Alabama fan in about a three-mile radius of my home.
and not even thinking about coming close. CT,
no doubt.
Always a great time talking with you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the week. And look, whenever LSU basketball has success on the court, being a former player, it just makes you feel great. I can't imagine what it feels like to be an LSU football player now, seeing what this team is doing. It's got to be just a – man, it's got to be cloud nine.
It's an exciting moment. You know, but the great teams and the great coaches, and that's why my hat's off to Coach Saban, because you – getting to that level, people get to that level every now, but it's being consistent and staying at that level, yeah. Jordy, just in football or basketball. Those are the elite teams and the elite programs. That's why everybody's bitter towards Alabama, because nobody can beat them. Well, I think LSU now has proven, look, there's a new kingpin in town. His name's LSU.
And they're getting it on the recruiting path, so the rich get richer, and we love it. It's about dadgum time. Chris Truax in the trenches here with us on the Jordy Helpert Show, brought to you by True Lodging RV Park. What a great place to go and unwind and kick back and relax. Chris, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. Go Tigers.
Oh, that's Coach O's signature. Yes. How about that? All right. Well, take a little time out. Don't forget about our good friends as you're heading to Hackberry. You can find D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Frankie's ecstatic. The Cajuns won. The Tigers won. He's a little hard down about the Saints losing, a little down about the Pelicans and their situation. But each and every day his staff shows up. They're happy. They're friendly. They're willing to help you out and find whatever you need, and they've got everything you need, including that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Man, I tell you what. If you haven't had their world-famous cheeseburger yet, you're really missing out on an experience. It's worth the trip. You know those Popeyes chicken sandwiches? Okay, everybody makes a big to-do out of that. Trust me, make a big to-do and go over to D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon and order that cheeseburger. Oh, I'm telling you, it's the best. We'll take a quick time out here. The Jordy Helpert Show on 103.7 The Game continues. We'll wrap up hour number one, set the stage for hour number two. Don't forget, hoops tonight, 5 o'clock tip, LSU-VCU. Ooh, there's going to be some venom for Will Wade, and he's going to love every second of it. Going to be a heck of a ball game. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
All right, welcome back. 52 minutes after the hour, LSU's Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, has been named one of 41 nominees for the Broyles Award, which goes to college football's top assistant. It is hard to believe, hard to imagine that he is not the favorite for this award at this point. So, well deserved. Now, back to LSU basketball. You know, let's think about VCU. They've been a mid-major power this entire decade. The program first rose to national prominence when Shaka Smart, remember him, who now is the head coach at Texas. So he parlayed that mid-major into a Power 5 big-time contract. But Shaka took VCU to its first ever Final Four in 2011. Smart would coach VCU a total of 6 seasons. He was 163-56 overall. That's a winning percentage of 74%. Shaka leaves for Texas. In comes Will Wade in 2015. He kept the Rams' NCAA tournament appearance streak intact for the 2 seasons he was coaching. And, in fact, in Will's first season, VCU won its first ever Atlantic 10 regular season championship. Exit Will Wade to LSU, enter Mike Rhodes. And the Rams missed the NCAA tournament in 2018, snapping its 7-year streak. But Rhodes got VCU back into the tournament last year, winning 25 games and 16 A-10 games, and was named the conference's coach of the year last season. So whether it's Rhodes or Will Wade or Shaka Smart, VCU is one of the best basketball programs in the country. As we heard earlier from Mike Litos, they love their basketball there. They love it. VCU's made all but one NCAA tournament this decade. They started the year ranked 25th in the initial AP poll. But despite winning its first two games of the season, they dropped out of the AP top 25, but has the most, quote, others receiving votes, close quote, votes. So they're essentially the number 26 team in the country, and that's a worthy adversary for LSU. And like most quality teams, and particularly at the mid-major level, they've got a veteran core. They do. Forward Marcus Santos Silva, Isaac Van are a redshirt senior and junior, respectively. Guards Deontay Jenkins, Mike Sims, Marcus Evans, they're all seniors. So this will be a great test for Will Wade and company. And earlier this week, Will Wade addressed some of the issues facing this LSU basketball team with just one game of a sample size, and particularly got to handle the basketball and not turn it over. Okay. All right. We're coming. We're coming. Sometimes these things freeze. Live radio. It happens. All right. Here's Will Wade talking about turnovers.
We got to clean up a lot of the turnovers. We've got to clean those up. So, you know, part of it was we got a little bit fatigued. I got to do a better job of subbing and making sure our guys aren't out there as tired as they are. But we've got to clean that up.
Clean that up, and one of the big bugaboos that's going to face them all year long, to be able to run, you got to board. No rebounds, no running, and no wins. Will Wade talking about rebounding the basketball.
I thought they were great. I thought Skyler had 7 defensive rebounds, 1 offensive, and Javonte had 8 defensive. So that was the reason we won the rebounding battle. You know, we forced them to miss a lot of shots, and when your big guards can get in there and rebound, that helps you out. We're certainly going to need to team rebound on Wednesday night. Marco Santos Silva, the big kid at VCU, is as good an offensive rebounder as we'll play. He's top 5 in the country in terms of offensive rebounding percentage.
6'7", 250, wide body, space eater, right? Space eater. So Emmett Williams, Darius Days, Trendon Watford, we'll see how LSU plans to attack the paint with that big behemoth inside the middle. So a big test for LSU. Should be a lot of fun. Again, 5 o'clock. There's layers to the game. Will Wade's going up against his former team. It's a nationally televised game against 2 top 30 programs. A heavy hitter from a Power 5 conference going against one of the best mid-major home venues. So the winner gets an early quad 1 win that the selection committee values so heavily come March. And we'll find out a lot about LSU over the course of these next 40 minutes. Hour number 1, history. Hour number 2, hot topics, NFL talk, and week 12 college football picks. All coming your way here. The Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour number 2 of 2, and away we go on this Wednesday, November 13th, where the spotlight is on the Houston Astros, who, according to Mike Fears, a former Astro pitcher who now does the same for the Oakland Athletics, told the website known as The Athletic that the Astros used a center field camera to help steal signs during their 2017 championship season. And when an off-speed pitch was coming, you'd hear a bat hit the garbage can twice. Boom, boom. Unbelievable. With that in mind, let's go take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. Does it get any better than that? CD, let's do it.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
So, CD, Mike Fears, the former Astro, I guess he thought it was fine when he was an Astro. Now that he's not, he says, I just want the game to be cleaned up a little bit because there are guys who are losing their jobs because they're going in there not knowing. What do you think about that story?
It's absolutely wild, Jordy, but it makes you wonder, why are we hearing about this now from Mike Fears? Whenever he could have probably said this not long after he left the Astros organization. I'm sorry, but man, it's a weird look all the way around. This comes almost a month after all the stuff that happened at the end of the ALCS. There's a black cloud hanging around the Astros franchise, and it's not going any way anytime soon.
General Manager Jeff Linnell said the team wanted to gather facts before discussing the matter. They're in cooperation with Major League Baseball. Come on. Either you did it or you didn't. What are you talking about? Come on.
It's amazing to see what's going on with the Astros right now. It's an absolute mess, and we'll see what happens with the Astros. I mean, obviously, it's not like in other organizations where, like in the NCAA, you're not going to see them vacate the 2017 World Series title, but you'll wind up probably seeing some sanctions come on down the line, and maybe that's why we didn't necessarily talk about this much, was the fact you had a lot of shakeup in the front office during the offseason.
Now I know why baseball games take so long. So some teams knew about this, so the pitcher steps off the rubber to change the pitch, change the signal. I think everybody does it. Let's move on. Let's speed up, and let's just get this over with. Move on.
I'd agree, Jordy. Move on, and trust me, we have plenty of time to move on from it. But we'll flip it on over, Jordy, to everybody's favorite former LSU coach, especially now that plenty of time has been away from the program. That is Les Miles. He was asked earlier today, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And, Jordy, it's just another reason why Les Miles is the best.
Coach, if you go back to the days that you were at Oklahoma State to now, what's been the thing you've learned most?
That the earth is round, generally speaking. So there's some areas where it's flat, but mostly round.
God, that's my boy, Les. That's my boy. He's simply amazing. Simply amazing.
So basically what he's saying was between the time he was at Oklahoma State and now, he's no longer a flat earther. He is definitely a firm believer. Relatively speaking, the earth is round. Yeah. That's the best.
And he also has failed to realize that there is a passing game out there, and you can't run the ball all the time. And when you do decide to pass the football and it's successful, and then you go back to running the football, then you're Les Miles.
Exactly, Jordy. And just we've seen it work out. I mean, Kansas ain't doing half bad the first year of the Mad Hatter at the helm. Obviously, you're not going to be competing right away with the Oklahomas of the world or the Texases of the world, but you've been able to keep it competitive against those programs, so maybe, just maybe, that Les Miles charm will work its way and they'll be able to at least compete and be a contender, which is something I feel like Kansas Jayhawks football programs, they do not mind at all. He's got a lifetime contract in my book.
Oh my God! Let me flip this around. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
We got the college football playoff poll in. LSU won, right? Georgia at number four. What if Georgia beats LSU, and the Big Ten champion isn't unbeaten? Is it not impossible that three of the most deserving four teams will come from the SEC? Would they? I mean, think about it. LSU is going to be in even if they lose. Georgia's the SEC champion. They win. And Alabama goes undefeated the rest of the way. Could they have three SEC? I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's not out of the realm, is it?
It's not out of the realm, Jordy, but I just don't see it, because if you have three teams hailing from the SEC, especially one that did not participate in the SEC title game, that is going to stick in a lot of people's craw, and that can wind up being something that, winds up speeding up the process of what we've talked about for the last few years, and it's expanding the field of the college football playoff to 8 teams. I think if you do that, that's going to wind up causing a lot of blowback. I would not be surprised, though, Jordy, if that team coming out of the Big Ten title game only has one loss. It all depends on who it's to. Hypothetically, let's say Minnesota. They've got one loss record, and they win the Big Ten title against Ohio State or whatever. It winds up turning out. And then you wind up having to kind of determine what's going to happen with the Big 12, the Pac-12.
That would be great.
It's going to be wild, Jordy, to see what happens in the next few weeks.
I just want chaos. I just want chaos. I want LSU in. Look, Ohio State's going to be in. Nobody's going to beat them, I don't think. Nobody's going to beat Clemson. They got the easiest road of anybody. Chaos would be great. Go ahead. All right, your turn.
What happened last night, Jordy, with the Kentucky Wildcats? That was definitely a head-scratcher on a big Tuesday. You've got the number one ranked team losing to lowly Evansville, a team that played the Cajuns a few years ago in the, I believe it was the CBI, one of those buy-in games at the old Blackham. That was a cool experience, but Evansville, not exactly a powerhouse.
No, they aren't. But look, Walter McCarty's been in big games. He's their head coach. They've got veterans like these mid-major teams do. Their senior experience, good guard play. Kentucky overlooked them. And how about Kentucky going from the team that beats number one to start the season at Michigan State? They become number one, and then in less than a week's time, they lose to a team. Wow, that's crazy. It just goes to college basketball is unlike any other sport. You know, football, a team like that's never going to beat a Power 5 team. It would take – it's one in a million. Yeah, I know App State beat Michigan back in the day, and App State just beat South Carolina. I understand all that. It's very rare. Basketball, you get a hot shooter and good guard play, you can upset somebody. And once you get on a roll and get in some rhythm, it's hard to stop it. And that's what happened to Kentucky. But they'll learn from it, believe me. So congratulations to Evansville. Number one goes down. Well, I think it's a great game tonight. LSU's going to have their hands full against VCU. Trust me.
I am not. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a highly contested ball game. These two programs are going to wind up having it be very, very close, very back and forth throughout. I got to go with LSU on this one, Jordy. But it's going to be fun to see these two teams face off.
I tell you what, it's going to be close. I sure hope LSU does win. But this is going to be a tough, tough challenge in a little tinker toy box of a gym that holds about, as we heard earlier, about 7,800. It's like an old high school gym. Bring it on, and let's see how some of these young pups handle it. I think LSU will be fine. I think they'll win it, but they're going to have to work hard to get the win.
They're going to have to work hard to get the win. I think you can say that about a lot of the games they have coming up, Jordy, because it's definitely going to be a tough season for this LSU program with a lot of high-quality teams coming down the pipeline.
College basketball is great. I hope people tune into it before March Madness, get an idea of what's going on, because I think I think it's wide open with a lot of good teams. And, again, good guard play, good shooting. You're not out of the hunt in any way, shape, or form. No question. Thank you, CD. I greatly appreciate it. Hot Topics brought to you each and every day by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the best hot sauce on the planet because they use the finest spices and the finest peppers, the Biard family in St. Martinville for nearly 90 years, day after day, putting out the best product imaginable. Do yourself a flavor. Bring some hot Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef Hot Sauce on it. NFL Talk and the Saints with John Hendricks next.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, with offices and locations in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. It's the dream of every truck driver to own the best, and the best is Peterbilt. When the Tigers are traveling to Oxford, Mississippi, they get their equipment and game gear there via a Peterbilt truck. Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best of the best. NFL talk time. Always love talking with our next guest each and every week at this time, John Hendricks of Forbes Sports and Canal Street Chronicles, kind enough to join us. Good afternoon, John. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing okay. Enjoying this cold weather and trying not to have my hands freeze up on me.
I'm with you. The Saints sure look like they were frozen in time. Just a one-day blip, or is there more concerns for you?
Well, look, I would like to think it's a blip, but there was obviously some real issues that they had to face, just being ineffective on offense outside of, you know, Michael Thomas. You know, just the pass protection was porous. They didn't do the run game much, about 11 times, I think is what they had. Just couldn't find any success, and then they were shooting themselves in the foot a lot with the penalties and such. And same kind of story on defense. They can't get off the field on third down. The defensive line looked pretty bad, and Matt Ryan looked pretty good. You know, again, only real bright spot you can take away from this is Michael Thomas looks pretty awesome. Deontay Harris did everything he could in the return game, and DeMario Davis on defense. But they got a lot to figure out, and, you know, short time to do it because you've got three other NFC South opponents that are right at your door, including Atlanta again.
Yeah, Tampa Bay this Sunday in Tampa. We're talking with John Hendricks. Why are national media people, such as our good friend, former LSU Tiger Ryan Clark, why are they saying they like the Saints offense better with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback? What is going on? Why?
I guess you got to have some hot takes. You know, I mean, the only thing is there was never anything that says that in that game that, oh, let's bench Drew Brees. That would never happen because, A, he's a competitor, and, B, that's their best chance of winning. So, you know, again, they point and they go to the hot takes and saying, well, Teddy Bridgewater's 5-0 as a starter and all this other stuff and want to make that way. The only thing I wanted to see them incorporate more that they did a lot with Teddy Bridgewater is the running game. And so, look, I mean, you lose Andres Pete, that hurts. Will Clapp kind of got worked around a little bit. You didn't have Nick Easton dressed. And so, look, I mean, I get it. People need something to talk about. But I think that's just a scorching hot take for anybody.
Absolutely. Just foolish. Yeah, just foolish. John Hendricks joining us. I agree with you. They didn't run the ball hardly at all. It looked like Sean Payton reverted back to the younger version of Sean Payton, and he just became very pass-happy. Kamara was 4 touches. Lattimore, I think, a combined 11 rushes on the day. That's not what the Saints have been doing. I know they fell behind, but did they get away from it way too soon?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, they did. I think they could have found some success if they ran the football. I think some of the runs, they did find some success. And, you know, again, it's just you got a game right there where it doesn't look like they used a lot of the weapons that they needed to. So it's tough for them to be in a spot to win a football game when you can't establish tempo. The Falcons are able to, you know, basically take everything out and control the time of possession. So, look, it's a rough go when you can't get anything going offensively.
No question. Tampa Bay next. We know that they're talented, Mike Evans, but any concerns about this game other than the fact that it's on the road and it's a division rival?
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, you don't know what's going to happen with Marshawn Lattimore. You know, I think that's the biggest concern there. Is that, you know, again, he got hurt. He tried to go in during the game, and then obviously his hamstring, that's what it looked like to me. I mean, back of the leg area, if you will, is what they're going to be with. And such. And so, you know, that's a concern. We got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I mean, still Jameis Winston as your quarterback, so that's obviously going to be a focal point. But, look, they have got to figure this out really quickly, because the worst thing is you've got Carolina right behind you. Yeah, they lost to Green Bay, but, you know, you got to figure it out pretty quickly on such a short time.
John Hendricks, Forbes Sports, Canal Street Chronicles. The thing that really shocked me more than anything is in the ninth game of the season, the Saints somehow, some way, forgot how to stop the run for the first time all year defensively. And their strength of their offensive line, yes, Pete was hurt, and, you know, you had to mix and match a little bit. But, man, Drew Brees was beat up pretty much. Six for a team that had seven total sacks all season, to get six in one game, that's just unheard of.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, again, they just got pushed around, whether it was Eric McCoy, whether it was Teron Armstead, which, again, he didn't look himself. Obviously, he had an illness that popped up on the injury report on Friday. I believe Peyton later said it was a flu. And again, it showed in the locker room. You could hear him cough. He just didn't look himself, kind of a little bit sluggish, trying to take out the pads and stuff like that. And, you know, again, you're not going to sit here and make excuses. I mean, they just got whipped up on the front line. And, you know, again, when you can't do that, when you can't give Drew Brees enough of a clean pocket to find his receivers, and, you know, receivers are dropping the ball, you obviously have a recipe for disaster there.
John Hendricks is kind enough to join us. This NFL report brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best in the business, the best in the industry. I'm curious as to your thoughts on this Colin Kaepernick saga, the latest development. He's given a private workout this Saturday at the Atlanta Falcons training facility. He's expecting NFL coaches and GMs, which I can't fathom them going there the day before an NFL game. But some are saying this is an NFL PR stunt. What says you?
I mean, look, you know, the guy says he's been working out for the past 3 years, ever since he's, you know, kind of got blackballed. And we've seen plenty of quarterbacks come out in this league that have just been, you know, you kind of just wonder to yourself, man, you know, why isn't this guy getting a chance? And I get all the other stuff that people want to make such a big deal about. But the guy is a player. He can play quarterback. You know, whether it is a PR stunt, whether the NFL is trying to make face after, you know, whatever collusion, whatever you want to believe, I'll be more interested to see what happens after the fact, after he does work and does do his workout. But, you know, look, I think Kaepernick has a chance to be on one of these 32 rosters to either be a backup or do something more for his teams.
As a backup, do you think it's worth all the extras that go along with it, all the media questions, all the scrutiny from your from some in your fan base? Is it worth it? Is the risk worth the reward?
It's happened. I mean, yeah, I think so, because, I mean, you've seen other teams face plenty of other things that have happened, you know, whether it's teams that just absolutely bomb, that don't come out like they're supposed to when they're favored like what they are. You've seen other stunts from owners. You know, Jim Irsay is one that comes to mind, Steve Keim in Arizona. I mean, you've seen plenty of other PR distractions that a football team has, or uncertainty with coaches like Adam Gase in New York. Okay. So, look, again, it's just part of the game. And again, the NFL got over it, and fans got over the stuff from before. They'll make face and they'll move on from all this other stuff too.
Is Dallas going to have a new coach at the end of this season?
Well, if they do, it's not Sean Payton. I'll tell you that much, even though they want it to. But look, they are in a prime spot. I mean, they're benefiting because the NFC East is pretty bad. So look, I think Garrett's a pretty good coach. I think he has a lot of questions that he needs to answer going into next season. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Jerry Jones just gives him back.
All right, John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles, Forbes Sports. Who's your MVP if you had to give one right now?
Well, bias aside, I think Michael Thomas is pretty good. You know, Russell Wilson, I think, would make a case too. Dalvin Cook's another guy in Minnesota that has some, you know, has to get some considerations. But again, you know, I think what Thomas has done just through these first few games, first stretch of games, and I think that, you know, realistically he can keep up, that he has to get some consideration. But for me right now, it's got to be Russell Wilson and what he's been doing.
How does Michael Thomas do it? Everybody in the building knows he's going to get the ball. The defense knows that the Saints are going to throw it to him, and yet he still finds a way to get open. He's not the fastest. What is it about him?
Yeah, look, I mean, it was Michael Thomas. This is special breeding. I mean, I don't think with everything that these teams are throwing at him, whether you single him, you double him, whatever the case may be, he's able to find a spot. He's able to find soft spots, go against the NFL best, all that type of stuff. So, I mean, when you get a guy like that that's able to bring 100 every single time, every single snap that he is, I mean, it's just a scary combination. He's had a chip on his shoulder ever since he came out of college.
Last but not least, Saints bounce back, yes or no?
Yes, they will bounce back. They will beat Tampa. I think it'll be closer than most people think, but I feel in that they're going to go in there and they're going to pick up a huge road win and kind of leave all this other stuff in the dust.
John Hendricks, thank you so much. Greatly appreciated, buddy. Take care.
No problem. Thanks. Have a good one.
We will take a quick timeout. Of course, that brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. When we come back, Michael Hugenin will shift gears. It's week 12 of the college football season. Can it top the drama that unfolded last Saturday? We'll find out next here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's number one sports station.
Guess what day it is?
It's time to break down the biggest storylines in college football this week with Michael Hugenin of The Athletic. What's up, Michael?
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day!
All right, welcome back. ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets, 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, dude, you just can't shop right at all. The best in the business joins us regularly at this time, and that's Michael Hugenin of The Athletic. Michael, how about them Tigers, baby? What a game in Tuscaloosa.
We talked last week about how it was going to be high scoring. I thought the home field for Alabama would be big. It wasn't. We also talked about how the running games for both teams
yes.
might be sneaky important, and they were. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I went into this season not a big believer in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I thought he was an okay running back, certainly not anything close to being an elite back in the mold of a Geis or Fournette. I still don't think he's a Geis or Fournette when it comes to the NFL, but, I mean, he is a really good running back for this offense, and I mm-hmm. think that's where I got hung up before the season. They ask him to do different things, and he does them all well. If you had told me Najee Harris would run for almost 150, I would say, oh, my goodness, LSU's in deep trouble. But yeah. he did, and they weren't. And the margin of five, I thought, was very, very sneaky wrong. Mm-hmm. At no point, once LSU got the 20-point lead in the first half, at no point in the second half did I think, Alabama's going to rally to win this game. No. And I think the fact that Alabama made it close at the end is the only reason they remain number five in the playoff rankings. Because you look at their schedule, they played one team, that game was at home, and that team beat them.
Yes.
In a game that wasn't as close as the score would indicate. So, LSU to me has locked down a spot in the playoff. I think basically three of the four spots are taken.
I agree.
The question is, who's going to be the fourth team?
I agree. Michael Hugenin of The Athletic. Did Joe Burrow lock up the Heisman in your mind?
Yeah, I had him. I'm a voter, and you're not supposed to say who you voted for. And obviously, I haven't voted yet, but I have had him number one for about 4 weeks. And yeah, unless he falls apart, he's going to win. I mean, even if he falls apart, he might go to New York, but I don't see any reason he's going to fall apart. He played exceptionally well. His legs were vital on Saturday, mm-hmm. and I think it's still interesting to me the number of people nationally, wow, Joe Burrow's pretty athletic. He's pretty – it's like they don't know that he was right. recruited to run Urban Meyer's offense at Ohio State, and that offense was extremely quarterback run centric. So the weird thing was that Dwayne Haskins beat him out because Dwayne Haskins could not run. And I'll be honest, if Meyer was not suspended last year, I don't know if Dwayne Haskins is a starter. So Burrow is a really high-level quarterback, makes really good decisions. LSU has a really good receiving core, but I would argue that he makes the receivers better than they are. Conversely, I think Alabama's receivers make Tua a little better than he is. So,
thank you.
Burrow is a really high-level quarterback.
I'm with you. Michael Hugan of The Athletic. The other big game of the last weekend before we get to this one, man, roll the boat. How about Minnesota taking down Penn State?
Stunned.
Yes.
I could not believe it. You know, Penn State threw the pick on the first drive, trying to go deep, picking on Antoine Winfield Jr. I don't know why, of all the Minnesota DBs, why you picking on the best one? And he comes up with the pick, and Minnesota goes right down the field. And I admit, I'm at home watching, and I'm like, oh, my, this is going to be a little bit more interesting than I thought. and the thing is, you know, you look at Minnesota's schedule, they have played nobody. And early on, they were lucky to win against a team like South Dakota State and Georgia Southern. And they looked really poised against against Penn State. That receiver, Bateman from Tifton, Georgia, nobody in the SEC recruited him. And I'm thinking, that dude could play for anybody in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So Fleck turn that win and Willie Taggart's firing, I think, into a very nice contract extension and raise.
Now we get on to this week, and we start with Minnesota because they've got to go travel to take on Kirk Ferentz and Iowa. Not an easy place to play. And this, you know, they're going to roll the boat to Iowa, but the Hawkeyes are no joke. And the Golden Gophers better be sharp, or else.
Yeah, we're going to have at least two writers there. I'm friendly with the Iowa writer for us. The high, I'm not sure it's the high, but the temperature Saturday morning is going to be 4 degrees.
Wow.
Four.
Kinnick Stadium. Wow.
Degrees. Kinnick is a fun place to watch a game, and I was favored, which I think. There's still a gigantic question mark about how truly good is this Minnesota team. But I'll be honest, if you beat Penn State, you can beat Iowa and you can beat Wisconsin. So Minnesota's got two big games left. This one, it's one thing with you're coming off a gigantic win, probably the biggest win for Minnesota in, what, two decades, three decades, four decades?
Yes.
Gigantic win. Can they handle success? It's one thing to go in against Penn State and everybody's doubting you. You've got the chip on your shoulder. You're the underdog. You've got nothing to lose. And even though they're technically the underdog this week, they have a lot to lose this week. So how will they handle success? Iowa, not a sexy team. Physical, probably more physical than Penn State. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. But yeah, Minnesota, it's a cool story. And I think if you like college football, I don't care who you cheer for, when, you know, there's Minnesota unbeaten, Indiana is 7-2. Those are cool stories. It's like when Vandy was good under James Franklin. Even if you're a fan of another SEC school, you got to go, you know, something, that's a cool story because they've been kicked around for so long. Well, Minnesota's been kicked around basically for six decades now, so it is a cool story.
Tanner Morgan was terrific, 18 of 20 for 339 yards and three touchdowns. Iowa has one of the nation's best defenses, allows just under 12 points a game. Who you got?
I actually think Iowa's going to win because I'm not sure Minnesota can handle the success. I think if you're used to winning, we got two big games in a row. It's not that big a deal. I think if you're not used to winning two big games in a row with the second one on the road, you know, if this game were in Minneapolis, I think it'd be different. But it's in Iowa City. That is a very difficult place to play. I think there's three truly difficult places to play in the Big Ten. Ohio State one, Penn State is one, and Iowa to me is even more difficult than Wisconsin because the fans are right there on you.
Yeah,
they're loud. They show up. Though I think there is a, Iowa every year. Iowa, we're going to go 8-4, and that's but that seems
that's
to be
good enough.
Fine with the AD there because I saw some Iowa announced I forget who it was, but I think they're playing somebody in 2033 and. One of the tweets said, "Yeah, I will be coached by a Kirk Ferentz hologram in that game because he's never leaving."
Yeah. All right, let's move on to what another good story. Navy, just one loss this year. They've gotten some love from the selection committee coming in at number 23. The midshipmen traveling to South Bend for a road game against number 16 Notre Dame. The Irish are heavily favored to win the game at home by 9.5 points. But it's another good story for Navy. Can they keep it close?
Yeah, Navy was horrible last year. They dropped off the face of the earth. Now they're back running that triple option. And, every coach talks about this is really a difficult offense to prepare for. Well, they're not lying. It is because you don't see it. If you're an AAC team, at least you see Navy every year. If you're Notre Dame, this is a big you're deep into your season. And you're having to totally switch your defense around because the team on the other side plays a triple option. Obviously, Notre Dame's got receivers on the outside, so I don't think Navy can cover. But if that triple option offense gets cranked up, 19 play, 80-yard drives, it takes 7.5 mm-hmm. minutes. That's what mm-hmm. happens. And I think that's what every coach that plays Navy fears. And if you're Navy, the one thing you don't want your defense on the field. Well, if your offense does what it's supposed to, your defense ain't going to be on the field. So I would take the points in this game. I think Notre Dame wins, but I think it's exceedingly close, and I think it'll be a highly entertaining game.
Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. Ambry Thomas, a cornerback for Michigan, says it's about who's the big brother and who's the little sister in this state. The battle for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. Michigan, number 15, hosting Michigan State, who has not been good, and they aren't good right now. They've lost four straight blowouts to Ohio State and Penn State, but it's a rivalry game, and they blew that game against Illinois. Can Michigan State shock the world?
No, I don't think so. Michigan State's offense is pitiful, truly pitiful. Wasting, again, pretty solid defense. Michigan seems to have its act together. Michigan is certainly not some kind of offensive juggernaut, but compared to Michigan State, Michigan's like the Niners with Montana and Rice and Roger Craig. So I think Michigan wins comfortably. Mark D'Antonio, the AD, said, he's not in any kind of trouble. He's fine. And I think that means, maybe he is in a little bit of trouble. Maybe he retires. But Michigan State, it's like watching the same TV show. I love this show, and then after a while, boy, this show is really horrible now. It's not funny. There's no drama left. The actors look tired, and that's what Michigan State looks like, a very tired old TV program.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
you're right. They do. Michael Huguenin, The Athletic. It's a pretty big weekend in the state of Mississippi, starting with Alabama at Mississippi State. How do teams respond after a tough physical, emotional game? They lose it to LSU 46-41, do another game-time decision, whether he plays or not. Any issues in this one for the Crimson Tide?
No, I think even if Mac Jones plays, they're fine. Michigan State's not very Mississippi State is not very good either. Their offense is all about the run. They cannot throw at all. Alabama knows that. Everybody who plays them knows it. Assuming Alabama doesn't come in totally deflated, they're going to win the game. Well, maybe it's closer than it should be because there is some hangover from the loss, but there is absolutely no way in the world Alabama loses this game unless Tua can't play and Mac Jones can't play. Alabama's vastly more talented. They still have a lot to play for. I think Alabama wins comfortably.
LSU has to travel to Oxford, Mississippi. Ole Miss is kind of deceiving. They've played some really tough games. They lost to Auburn by one possession. They're hanging in close. They're not a high caliber team, but they're still dangerous. How does LSU, coming off the emotional high, handle this one?
Well, yeah, this is all about the LSU hangover as well. This game's about LSU, not about Ole Miss. LSU's a lot better, obviously. Everybody knows that. Ole Miss has improved greatly defensively. Mike McIntyre deserves a bunch of credit. And if that staff gets let go, Mike McIntyre is going to have a job within 2 or 3 days of that staff being let go. That said, if Burrow and his offensive mates are ready to play, they're going to put up high 30s, low 40s, even if they don't totally play 100% well. The Ole Miss offense, that running game is impressive. Rich Rod has done a really nice job getting that rushing attack. That's a scary good rushing attack, and a bunch of folks contribute. Plumlee is a pretty solid running quarterback. The Snoop Connor kid, Jerry and Ely, they got some runners. But, man, the passing attack is brutal. So, again, I can't imagine LSU playing at a fever pitch 2 weeks in a row. But they're still much better than Ole Miss, at least 17 points better than Ole Miss. And, again, I think the offense is the key. As long as Burrow is relatively sharp and the offensive line shows up and does its job, LSU is going to win comfortably. The defense, I think Ole Miss's running game is going to do some damage, but not nearly enough. Again, that's a totally one-dimensional offense.
Yeah, Michael Hugan and the Athletic. It's the oldest rivalry in the South, Georgia, who, if the season ended today, would be in the Final Four. Now they have another big test on the road against number 12, Auburn. Every Alabama fan is, for the first time in their life, pulling for Auburn. What do you see in this one? Who do you like?
Yeah, I think that this is an interesting matchup because Auburn's defensive front is really, really good. It's the best defensive front in the SEC. Georgia wants to run and throw off the run. And as they showed against Florida, when that happens, Fromm looks really good. When that running game is shut down or that running game doesn't get in gear, Georgia's offense suffers. So my presumption is Kevin Steele is basically telling his guys, we ain't letting DeAndre Swift beat us. So if Fromm has a sharp game, hats off to him, we ain't letting DeAndre Swift beat us. So I think this is a very interesting matchup. I'll be honest, I think Auburn has a better chance to slow Georgia's offense than LSU does. LSU, I think, would score a heck of a lot of points on Georgia. That Auburn ain't going to do that. But if this game is in the teens, Auburn's got a great chance to win because I think they can do just enough offensively, assuming they don't let DeAndre Swift beat them. And I don't think that's going to happen. So I think this has big-time upset potential. I think Georgia wins, but I think it's going to be like a 20-17 kind of game.
Okay.
If Auburn
Ooh.
Can get into the 20s, I think they can win the game.
All right. And finally, the primetime game on ABC this Saturday is in Waco, Texas. Undefeated, number 13, Baylor, number 10, Oklahoma. The Sooners on the road. Can Baylor stay undefeated?
Yeah, I mean, Baylor-TCU last week was 9-9, and I watched most of it and was almost physically ill. That was a horrible game. And then overtime was extreme excitement, including one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life by the TCU kid to keep overtime going on a 4th-and-9 play.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma has too much firepower for Baylor. Baylor does have the second-best offense in the Big 12. And this year, that's saying something. That's a Baylor team that prides itself on defense. This isn't the Baylor from 7 or 8 years ago where they tried to outscore you 56-53. They want to outscore you 23-20. And I don't think they can do that against this Oklahoma offense. I think if Oklahoma is sharp, they're going to be fine. And I think Hurts has something to prove. I think the Oklahoma running game has something to prove. And Oklahoma defensively has really taken a gigantic step back. The thing is, I'm not sure Baylor's offense can take advantage. So I think Oklahoma beats Baylor. I think they will meet again for the Big 12 title. and that will be the truly interesting game because maybe there's a playoff berth on the line. But it's obvious that the playoff committee doesn't believe in Baylor. They're 13th, right, and they're unbeaten. I don't believe in Baylor either.
Two quick things before we wrap it up. We all agree, LSU, we agree that nobody's going to beat Ohio State and nobody's going to beat Clemson because they don't play anybody. But that four spot's wide open. From your, if you were the one vote and the eyeball test passing, who is that fourth best team in your opinion?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I don't want to be like
honest.
I'm copping out, but no. Alabama hasn't played anybody, but they're extremely talented. Georgia has beaten some good teams, but how do you lose to South Carolina?
Yeah.
Oklahoma has backslid.
Who lost to App State.
And App State beat them up along the line of scrimmage. That's what was unbelievable. And Oregon and Utah haven't really beaten anybody. I think both those teams are pretty solid, but they haven't beaten anybody. So right now, I guess my answer would be I don't have a problem with Georgia being fourth and Alabama being fifth. But okay, there's no way Georgia's only going to have one loss when the season ends.
And finally, Arkansas job is open. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not. I get why they fired him. Chad Morris didn't do anything while he was there. But I also wonder, like him and Taggart, can you really tell anything in 21 games how good a program's going to be? So. You're hearing, you know, Mike Norvell, supposedly a candidate for both jobs, and Norvell played at Central Arkansas. Mike Leach would come relatively cheaply, would be interesting. But Leach, there's a reason Leach has done well at Texas Tech and Washington State. There's no attention paid to the guy.
Right.
And,
right,
boy, if he comes to a bigger program where people are paying attention to him, he's eccentric. No, he's not eccentric. Yeah. He's weird. And he antagonizes
right,
people, including his own team. You know, he called his team, you know, he basically called his team quitters and were
right,
walking corpses. At Washington State, no one cares if you do that. You do that at FSU Arkansas? Woo.
Woo.
Totally
we'll
different.
See. Yeah. Michael Huguenin, week 12. It's getting fun. We'll see what happens. Thank you as always. Talk next week.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
There you go. Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. Back with more to wrap things up here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
All the best guests join the Jordy Helfrich Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, if you love the combination of the NFL and Twin Peaks, go to 1037thegame.com. Take part of the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge. Every single week, you get a new chance of scoring Twin Peaks gift cards by picking the correct winners for that week's NFL action. It's simple, it's fun, it's free to play. The Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge brought to you by 1037 The Game. If today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Gerard Butler, one of my favorite actors, 50 years old. Jimmy Kimmel is 52 years old today. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Thanks to our guests, Mike Litos of Virginia Commonwealth, Chris Truax in the trenches, John Hendricks on the NFL, and Michael Huguenin with his Week 12 college football picks. Tomorrow, the Schwab will make his NFL picks. We'll recap the Tigers basketball game and more on LSU Ole Miss. CD, thank you for all you do. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible. Until next time, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.